Morning.
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 Welcome to the first day of winter. It's a wonderful, first major hour with the light stuff. It's a beautiful morning. We're going to continue on the Roman road, as they call it. And it's kind of exciting study because Paul had such practical insights into how we live as Christians. And these our current chapters we're studying right now, chapter 12, 13, 14, and 15, are talking about the role, our role as Christian integrity and good Christian character. Paul is talking about lots of theological issues in the first grade chapters, and they're very profound and wonderful. And now he's getting very practical. How do we live out our Christian life? And last week, Bruce did an excellent job of teaching on the body of Christ, how we live with our fellow Christians. And today we're really going to be talking about how we live with a fully secular society. I'm going to go back briefly to Romans 12 and read some key lines from Paul, who's full of rather interesting, called Paul's bromide of how to live as Christians. And the beginning of chapter 12, it says, Do not conform yourselves to this age, but be transformed by the renewal of your mind, so that you may judge what is God's will, what is good, pleasing, and perfect. Do not be conformed to this age, but be transformed by the renewal of your mind. Then he goes down the last few lines of 14 and says, bless your persecutors, bless and do not curse them, rejoice with those who rejoice, and weep with those who weep. Have the same attitude toward all. And repeat that. Have the same attitude toward all. Put away ambitious thoughts and associate with those who are lowly. Do not be wise in your own estimation. Never repay injury with injury. See that your conduct is honorable in time. If possible, live peacefully with everyone. Beloved, do not avenge yourselves. Leave that to God's wrath, for it's written, vengeance is mine, I will repay you. But if your enemy be hungry, feed him. If he be thirsty, give him something to drink. And he goes on to say, for this, by doing this, will keep burning coals on your head. Do not be conquered by evil, but conquer evil. With all those key lines, he's telling us what is the true Christian integrity, Christian character that we're supposed to live out in terms of our relationships and all of society. It's all about relationships. Christianity is all about relationships. Number one is our relationship with our God. Number two is our relationship with one another. Today we're going to take on our relationship with all of society, the secular society in particular. Paul's talking about three areas of those relationships. One is our relationship with civic authorities. Number two, our relationship with one another. And number three, the timeliness of those relationships. Are individual? Relationship with the civic authorities, the civil authorities. So let's take a look. I'm going to read that chapter for you, the first section, short story on the beings of civil authority. Let everybody obey authority that is given over him, for there is no authority except from God, and all authority that exists is established by God. As a consequence, the man who opposes authority rebels against the ordinance of God. Those who resist thus shall draw condemnation upon themselves. Rulers cause no fear when a man does what is right, but only when his conduct is evil. Do not wish to be free from the fear of authority, If you wish to be free from the fear of authority, do what is right and you will gain its approval. For the ruler is God's servant, and to work for your good. Only if you do wrong ought to be afraid. It is not without purpose that God, the ruler, carries his sword. He is God's servant to inflict avenging wrath upon the wrongdoer. You must obey, then, not only to escape punishment, but also for conscience' sake. Live God's will. You pay the taxes for the same reason. Magistrates deem God's ministers to devote themselves to this service with unremitting care. Pay each one his due, taxes to those whom taxes are due, toll to those whom toll is due, respect and honor to everyone who deserves them. This is how we are to live with and respond and obey civil authority. And it's interesting because you'll see how it all ties into God's plan. And I'm going to read from the beginning of the preamble to the Constitution of the United States, because we're very blessed here to have our Constitution and our civil authority founded on Christian principles, the real Christian principles. Just the first couple lines here says, in the preamble to the U.S. Constitution. In order to form a more perfect union, establish justice, ensure domestic tranquility, provide for common defense, promote the general welfare, and secure the weapons of liberty, all men shall be upon command. We can see that this is a godly plan to bring peace, harmony, and order. God is a God of order, and that's why he wants to respect human authority, civil authority. In 1 Timothy 2, Paul writes, I urge that petitions, prayers, and intercessions and thanksgiving be offered for all men, and especially for kings and nobles and authorities, that we may be able to lead undisturbed and tranquil lives in perfect piety and dignity. That's the word of the Lord. Who wants to live in perfect piety and dignity? And a civil society that honors that. Those, of course, are ideal. But over the history, I think we can say that you can see that civil authority is part of God's plan. Basically, all society needs the civil authority, right? And it really keeps things glued together. And yes, we know that there's many aberrations of that and many breakdowns. But basically, historically, it's just a good thing. And it's the same for getting my God as Paul tells us clearly. In Titus 3 says, be submissive to rulers and authorities. So the word is quite clear what we're called to do. I like to take a look at those as three key areas of godly submission to authority. The first of which is what we're just talking about, civil submission. We're called to obey all the laws, promote this to the order, justice, peace, and security. Bring forth a peaceful godly life and principle. And our first Peter says, be obedient to every human institution. Such obedience is the will of God. We want to fulfill that will of God in the question of that. Secondly, it's spiritual authority. We're called to obey all of God's laws and all of his children from his word, that is only true. So it's called to that. And the passive mind there was in comparison with the render to Jesus, all of the seasons, and render to God, all of the God. So it makes that clear distinction that both authorities are called to be honored, but we honor them and seek them in God's balance. Now the third area of authority is the one that we're supposed to look at. And that's where we're called to have mutual submission, as we said, to both the secular civil society and as well as keeping God in the call. Mutual submission or sacred consent. That's the challenge that we're dealing with, is when our civil authority doesn't quite meet up to what our expectations are. And our expectations sometimes can vary. But we have to, again, they say we're called to a dual citizenship, we're called to citizenship of heaven and citizenship of this earth. And so we're called to a radical life existence. We have a new dimension to our whole understanding of who we are as men of God. And so we want to honor that and let that be fulfilled. And when we have the areas of civil intent, or where the civil government tends to limit or prohibit certain actions that we feel are very important to our spiritual authority, and we always put the spiritual authority first, we must blend, we must complement, we must honor one another. And we're dealing with that right now. It's very contemporary. And so it doesn't look like it shouldn't be much contemporary chapter to read, because it's all over the place. And we're dealing with that very big. In fact, I just want to read a couple of things from Peter. When Peter says in Acts, he says, Peter and the apostles replied to the thing, better to be a God rather than men. And they were told not to speak the name of Jesus, not to speak the gospel. And Peter was on to say, you cannot stop talking about what we have seen and heard. This is the reality. And how is it going to be in the gospel? And when it comes to actual civil obedience, the civil disobedience and civil disagreement, Peter continues. And I think we have a prime example of that in our society today. One is civil disagreement, which is signified by the two parties. The peaceful demonstration of this is the agency of the kingdom, and why not? On the other hand, we have civil disobedience in the form of the occupied youth. There's civil disobedience. Because they are living and destroying neighborhoods and the way of life, even over on the West Coast, they're crashing into buildings and storefronts and burning and so on. And God forbid what's been happening in summer, literally. I'll turn back to that because he's predicting some pretty unpleasant things in summer. So, there's ways to disagree with the civil government and the peace building. And I would call it civil disagreement, maybe just civil disagreement. And we're called to honor, number one, our relationship with God in all ways. And to the extent that that is honored in the state of society, of course, always find honor in the state of society as well. God orders. We always want to reflect that integrity of being a citizen. And that's very challenging. It doesn't always go easy, as we know. The world does not see the vision of life as we see it. We work through the eyes of faith. And the eyes of faith bring us into that. The beautiful understanding of the broader picture. We understand that we're here in this world as a brief encounter in preparation for our bigger world of eternal life. And this is one you're going to be living. So we have to show by our love what it's all about. And that's what that second section is coming with this. We're called to love one another and love even our enemies. We as human beings cannot naturally do it. If we didn't know the Lord, if we didn't see a higher purpose, if we didn't know that our greater goal was to be with Him for all eternity, all these trials and difficulties in this world would be virtually impossible for us. And that's why mankind is constantly in war, struggling, and battling with one another, because they want to settle it all on their own. When they know the Lord Jesus Christ, Father and Spirit, we have uncommon strength to face these challenges in terms of civil authority, in terms of relationships, and we have that great faith to forgive, to love over those difficulties that we deal about kindness and spirit. Let me read the second area of submission love. Paul says, "Oh, no debt to anyone except the debt that binds us to love one another. He who loves his neighbor has fulfilled the law." He who loves his neighbor has fulfilled the law. That we're fulfilling the law, civil law, and all others, if we love our neighbor. Let's look at that for a minute. Commandments do not commit murder, adultery, steal, or covet, or any other commandments. They are all summed up in the need to love your neighbor as yourself. Love never wrongs the neighbor, and love is the fulfillment of the law. And Christ is asked, what is the greatest of commandments? He said, this is the greatest of commandments, is to love the Lord your God with all your heart, mind, and soul, and spirit. And the second is life, and life is to love your Lord as yourself. And these two commandments are the sum of the law. So, love conquers the multitude of things. And what is love? Maybe a brief list from the First Corinthians 13, the famous one that we read at weddings. But it applies to all of us in this situation. Love is patient, kind, never jealous, never rude, not self-seeking, not prone to fear. If we had that kind of attitude as Christians, full of integrity and sincerity, if all society had that kind of attitude as well, can you imagine the world in which we live? That's the perfect civil society is all about. And that's why love is the fulfillment of the law. But even there, the reality is that it takes the love of Christ within us to have the grace to do that. I don't think the natural human inclination is to love that way. And all of history talks about the relationship and the descendant between people. So we have a big role to play. We have to play that radical role as we know God. And then Paul talks about he says, take care to do all these things. Do all these things. For you know the time in which we are living, by 2012. It is now the hour for you to wake from sleep, for our salvation is closer than when we first accepted the faith. The night of trust and the day draws in us. Let us cast off the use of darkness and put on armor of life. Let us live honorably as we do life, not in carousing and drunkenness, and not in sexual self-love, not confusing and confusing, not in quarreling and jealousy. Rather, put on the Lord Jesus Christ and make no provision for the desires of the flesh. The time is now, and frankly, God says he is always. It's always kindness to follow the will of the Lord and walk in truth and light and allow His Spirit within us to come into fullness of reality, to be fully aware of the Spirit that we're in. And that's what gives us the strength to live a godly life. That's what gives us the strength to honor our civil society and honor one another in the community and honor all who have come to contact. And in times of strife, like I said before, it's time to circle the wagons and pull together the body of Christ and just hold tight because trouble is out there. Yes, we need that. And I think that's why all this comes out on Saturday morning. We need to be circling our wagons to a fellow believer and learn from them and grow in the living house and house. But history also shows that in times of difficulty, it's time to pray. That society out there that's British in many ways is often very open to caring for God. And I think that's also a key responsibility for us. We love others. Love answers all the law. To love others and let them know. know that there is an opportunity to find peace in general and in our future. And if nothing else, if we just love our neighbors, love our families, love our friends, in ways that we can come to know the Lord through us, that's all we want to us. All that relationship with them is relationship. If all of our contact with the love of Christ, and they will pick that up within us. We can allow that to happen. We constantly ask for the grace of every wisdom to know how to do that. It takes special grace to know how to live that kind of life. And it is a valuable life. Most of the time you are living that life. But that's how we celebrate our faith with others. And we have a situation in our own family. As you mentioned in prayer, our 51-year-old grandson has had symptoms of that. And obviously, it's been devastating to my brother and father. And it was forced to be when he was old. And he came over and did that prayer right here. Looking for wonderful lines presenting these to the Lord, and every time it's fairly full of gratitude, and God speaks with the general and God has questions for his people. He really appreciated hearing that, and talking about that email that first episode of the church. So they're in a time of crisis, and the answer is through the Lord. Let people know how loving and how reassuring the Lord is. My daily mention to my son-in-law said the beauty of knowing Christ is that to know that this life is a temporary venture. We're really here to come to look forward to that eternal life. Such a part of here is in the gospel. We're believing that if we haven't been no active Christian, we're believing that we will come to know the Lord more deeply in our time and country. And this is true for all of us. Many people hurting out there. And we're called to love. Love them earnestly. And I have a final quote that I'd like to share from Henry Nouwen. Henry Nouwen is a Christian author of the New York. And I'd like to quote a couple of beautiful lines from him. He says, "Listen to the voice of the Lord who calls you, his beloved. Let that voice speak to the center of your being. Listen to the voice of the Lord who calls you, his beloved. And let that voice speak to the center of your being. Once we know that we are the beloved of God, that we're his son, that every man in this room is the son of God, yes, the son of our faith, and the spiritually we're the son of God. And he wants us to know that each one of us are beloved. We're beloved, we're special in God's eyes, our Father in heaven, all this is one. And the Kenny Nall points out in the letter, he says, once we know that, we can face anything. We can face anything, because when we know that we're beloved of the Father in heaven, that that's our eternal reward, and what can come against us if God is for us to be with us. He says, listen to that voice, and let it speak to the very core of your being. And when that happens, there's no need to make any provisions to fire to your cup. God bless you all.
Thank you. Yes, Bill.
You
know, when you're 72, we're at a turning point right now. We've got at least three or four Supreme Court justices that don't believe in the Constitution. They believe in the European Secular Union, and we've got a president. And this is going to be the turning point right now. November election is the turning point.
You're right, Joe, and so we have to follow the words of the scripture more than ever. Pray for the rulers and honor them, and just pray, guys. And it's a big prayer need right now. And sometimes the Lord, you know, they think it's over our own bad choices. And with that happening, history repeats itself, that old line. We're living just living out history. And right now, we frankly, in the past 75 years or so, or whatever, we don't seem to handle affluence very well. It's a hard reality. And all of Hebrew history, all of the history of Israel and the Old Testament, they couldn't handle affluence well there either. Because they would become affluent, prosperous, good, and all morality literally went to hell. And so then God allows them, with their bad choices, they fall down, they're conquered, they're beaten, they're persecuted, and all of a sudden, just goes and glory come back. And he always gets us back, because we're his beloved. Hallelujah. So we're going through that cycle, guys, so we're called to pray. That's what we do.
I just say, well, manna rots and apples are just
vegetables. Thank you. Okay, guys, there's some questions to discuss there. It is challenging, man. Thank you.
Thank you. I fret, have to get the ratings from all you guys at Saturday's final study. Make sure you let the guys know I'm going to help you. I miss the good coffee and the learning, also the fellowship. Beautiful for that, the Lord is helping me through the water. All the people are truly a blessing. All the people are truly a blessing. I'm glad you can see the world clearly again. It sure is a beautiful place. It's probably about my eye surgery. I have 120 days. Guys have time helping me. It's better to give it 120 eye surgery than 300 eye surgery. I hope you get to play a little bit wrong for me. What a small world we live in. What does Richard want? A friend of mine. He's in the prison ministry. What a small world. Why this rich Lord? He's been a blessing. What a great Christian friend. The Lord continues to bless people through this tough time. I want you to know how much I appreciate you and love you guys. It would be great if you could come to visit before you go to my brother Tom's taking care of the schedule. I'm going to see him on Tuesday. That's why I'm so proud. But I want you to know that he misses us and misses all of you guys. That's a beautiful soon things. That's my point.
I don't know what you're saying.
the functioning of human government. Three or four functions of human government: the function of protection, the function of punishment, and the function of promotion. Right, let's get into this. How do we respond to the leaders of civil authority? That's the key question. How do we respond? I'm anxious to hear how all of you respond. I'm going to start with you, volunteers are always good children.
I'm going to have to like, I'm going to have to like, I guess what I do is
You know, one thing that we said that I think we want to do, all of this makes me more, I shouldn't say anxious necessarily, but happy to be facing my eternal life. Forward to being with the Lord in His heavenly kingdom. As I say, all of these troubles make me more anxious to be with the Lord.
Is it real? We're not looking for a year. Is that it?
You know that this is a discussion right now. You could probably go on for quite a while. We're enjoying ours quite a bit at our table, but you do want to consider in a few minutes just cranking because there are men that may want to take off and have that expectation.
Well, that's the other part.
way beyond looking into it. We've committed ourselves to moving to $10 million downside your home and kind of on the market. Now you're eventually growing them.
You got to get down here for the game.
Oh,
it's like they want to block.